Wednesday, July 31st. Today in Europe, Britain begins its total blockade of Germany and Italy. German bombing planes again have raided the British Isles, this time striking heavily at Wales. British planes, supported by French planes based in Britain, have resumed daylight raids on German objectives. But there still is no word as to how near, if at all, is Germany's attempted invasion of Britain. Now the news from Europe direct. Berlin and London. Afterwards, Linton Wells will report more news from New York. Now the report from the German capital.
This is Berlin. The attack of German Stuka dive bombers on Dover day before yesterday still claims most of the attention in the German press. "It was terrible," shouts the headline at the top of page one in the 12-4 Blatt, and adds, "That was what the London press itself said about the raid." The BZ promises that many more such raids will follow. A reader of the German press certainly gets the impression that the German Air Force is wreaking havoc all over the British Isles. American Press Association dispatches from London, telling of the damage, are again quoted here, to lend substance to the picture. And such authorities as the military expert of the New York Post are also quoted along the same line. The German shortwave stations today quote the Post's military correspondent as expressing, quote, "grave doubts," unquote, whether the British people will be able to withstand the combined psychological and economic effects of the German bombings. This use of American opinion to back up the German thesis, of course, sounds very convincing to the German reader, for American opinion is known not to be particularly friendly to Germany. In the meantime, the British Air Force continues its nightly bombings of centers in northwest and west Germany. But I don't recall that it has ever yet been stated here that military objectives were hit. Yesterday, for example, the High Command war communique insisted that exclusively non-military objects had been hit in the British raids the night before. At least these night British raids are carried out over a wide expanse of territory. The German radio mentions today raids not only over Germany, but over Holland and Denmark as well. The Wilhelmstrasse stated today that it had received the British communication about the shooting down of German Red Cross planes. It said it had taken notice of the communication, but there was no indication that it would be given a reply. A German spokesman insisted that the German Red Cross planes were not bombers or reconnaissance planes in disguise. While the German raids on Britain appear to be gradually increasing in scope, it's pointed out here that they are all very preliminary affairs. But there's still no indication in Berlin, if they are preliminary, when the real ones will start, or when the great attack on Britain will begin. There certainly seems to be no hurry about that, so far as you can tell in Berlin, despite the fact that the summer is fast slipping away, and by fall it would appear to be too late. The German press, which has been none too friendly towards the attitude of the United States at Havana, publishes a resume of the results of the conference today without comment. The headlines do emphasize the reservations of Argentina and Guatemala on the question of the transference of European territories in South and Central America. The German Foreign Office showed equal reserve today. A spokesman commented that the Havana conference was the affair of another continent. Only the Frankfurter Zeitung takes issue with the Havana mandate plan. "So long it holds," and I'm quoting, "as the Monroe Doctrine is not an international principle, but only a maxim of United States policy limited to the American continent, the Havana mandate plan cannot be legitimate." Mr. Hartridge told us in Paris Sunday night that the French press was even more violently anti-British than the German press. These French papers are continually quoted here, and their articles make strange reading, mainly, I suppose, because they are now outdoing the Germans and blaming Britain for the war. Today, the Berlin newspaper cite an editorial from L'Action Française entitled, "How Winston Churchill Prepared the War." You'll get the impression from the French press now that France had nothing at all to do with the matter. An interview given by Henry Ford on his 77th birthday expressing the hope that America will stay out of the war is being rebroadcast by the German shortwave stations. This is William L. Shirer in Berlin, returning out of Columbia, New York.
This is New York, and here is the latest news from the Balkans. In Bucharest, Foreign Minister Manolescu has announced that Romania's peace and economic stability have been guaranteed by Germany and Italy. and newsmen interpret this to mean complete adherence of Romania to the Axis powers. It also states that the Axis will guarantee the integrity of Romania after Romania settles the territorial claims of Hungary and Bulgaria. There are indications in Bucharest that these claims are to be settled at an early date. Now the news from the British capital, reported by Eric Severide. Go ahead, London.
This is London. Britain this morning had its answer from Tokyo on a British protest against the arrest of her subjects out there. It was at least an indirect answer. A foreign office official in Tokyo denied that his government had received such a protest, and that in any case such a protest would not be considered. Furthermore, he said the number of arrested persons is increasing, although two Britishers have been released. Britain now waits for the next move from Whitehall. There is no longer any attempt to hide the fact that the Far East situation is one of extreme danger. Many intelligent people in London today are convinced that Japan is trying now to either bluff England out of the Far East or to pull her into war. They feel it's not at all unlikely that a Japanese attack would be timed to go off with a German attack on this island and perhaps an Italian-Spanish attack against Gibraltar. A considerable section of opinion here foresees a concerted worldwide blow to try to knock over the British Empire at one stroke. This morning, the London press prints on its front pages yesterday's report from Edwin Hartridge, Columbia correspondent, who announced from France that masses of German troops are moving toward the Channel. The report is printed without comment. There is little discussion here anymore about whether the attack is coming or is not coming. Britain is simply waiting with its finger on the trigger. The air raids last night did not amount to very much. 9 bombs fell in one Welsh town without causing casualties. One small village was hit, and other explosives landed on a mountainside. The press here supports the proposition of the American Committee for Aid to Britain that overage American destroyers ought to be sold to this country. The News Chronicle this morning says, "Our urgent need of destroyers is no secret. We are building at a great pace, but we have suffered severe losses. A large part of the French destroyer fleet is no longer at our service. We need many more of these vessels to ensure the safety of our coasts and our shipping. Americans are naturally loath to part with ships, but America will never be in jeopardy as long as Britain stands and the British Navy controls the seas around Europe." End of quotation. The Admiralty is reported to be taking secret measures now to deal with Germany's E-boats, her fast new motor torpedo boats, who operated against the British with more than a little success at Dunkirk. These small boats, which ride low in the water and carry torpedoes as well as 1.5-inch guns, are particularly useful at night. They have been carefully studied by the Admiralty, and countermeasures are now believed to be ready. Several outstanding British surgeons think that chest armor can be devised for troops which will greatly reduce the number of casualties from bomb and shell splinters. The Prime Minister himself is personally interested, and research to devise light armor will probably soon begin. Sir John Anderson, the Minister of Home Security, broadcast last night and warned the people of Britain not to forget about their gas masks. He advised them to practice wearing it a few minutes each day to become accustomed to it. It's possible, he said, that liquid gas may be sprayed from the air. So remember to keep under cover during air raids. From Kenya, it's reported that the Battle of Moyale has apparently reopened. The communique last night said, "Today our ground forces made contact with strong enemy forces in the Moyale area. Details are awaited today." Moyale was taken on July 14 by a heavy Italian force, while 200 men of the King's African Rifles withdrew in the night. Meanwhile, it's reported from South Africa that a strong new force of South African troops has reached British East Africa, and more are on the way. A communique that's just come in from Cairo says, "In Italian East Africa, an ammunition dump and other military objectives at Massawa were attacked by RAF bombers, and in spite of heavy anti-aircraft gunfire and adverse weather conditions, the raid was pressed home successfully." End of quotation. This is London, returning you now to CBS New York.
Such is the news direct from Europe. You've heard from our correspondents in Berlin and London. Now in our New York studios is Linton Wells with news of other points and an analysis of events. Mr. Wells.
As Hitler appears to have at least temporarily averted an explosion in the Balkan powder magazine, there would seem to be little reason for the Nazis to postpone longer their concentrated attack against the British Isles, which William Shire hinted from Berlin this morning, is in the offing. Romania has bowed under German pressure and will become a passive vassal state of the Axis powers, which will guarantee its readjusted frontiers. These readjusted frontiers are unidentifiable at the moment, because Hungarian and Bulgarian territorial claims against Romania must first be satisfied. But it is generally believed that Hungary will receive most of rich Transylvania and Bulgaria a healthy slice of the Dobruja. This will reduce the size of Romania considerably and perhaps cause her to lose her entire coastal area along the Black Sea, with no access to it except along the Danube. Moreover, Foreign Minister Manolescu announced at Bucharest last night that there would probably be an exchange of populations between the three countries. In other words, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Romania will each transfer their nationals from one flag to another, so as to avoid further minority incidents which might breed trouble for the Axis powers. There seems to be some justification for believing that Soviet Russia is considering undertaking an extension of her power into the Balkans. There are indications that the Bolsheviks are not quite satisfied with what they gained by grabbing Bessarabia and Bukovina from the Romanians, and are preparing to extend their frontiers southward and westward into Romania, despite Hitler's thinly veiled warnings to his Kremlin partner Stalin to maintain the status quo. In this connection, Foreign Minister Manolescu said last night that Romania had suffered a blow at Russia's hands at a moment when she was unprepared, but that Romania knows how to defend herself and will do so if necessary. However, many observers believe that Russia will be persuaded not to do anything which will disturb the Balkan situation from now on. In other words, that Berlin is expected to prevail upon Moscow to sit tight for the present, at least until a concentrated effort against Britain is undertaken. In this connection, as Eric Severide indicated from London this morning, there is a growing belief that Spain will cast her lot with Germany and Italy and simultaneously move against Gibraltar, around which there is reported to be increased concentration of Spain's military might, augmented by German and Italian men in arms. Spain, it is said in some quarters, will use the newly extended British blockade as an excuse to justify her move against England. Out in the Far East, the Japanese seem to be getting tougher. Despite the Japanese evasion of a British protest, as Eric Severide reported from London a few minutes ago, the Japanese Foreign Office spokesman said today that not only will Japan refuse even to consider any British protest against the recent arrest of British subjects in connection with an alleged spy plot, but that he had reason to believe that arrests of British residents in Japan were still in progress. The spokesman also hinted that the arrest of other foreigners were imminent, among which are some 800 people who are now teaching in the universities and schools of Japan. These, of course, include numerous missionaries. The excuse for these arrests is, of course, an attempt to eliminate so-called foreign spies from Japan, who, the Japanese allege, have been undermining the country. However, the consensus of best-informed opinion is that Japan is starting another build-up to justify an aggressive move against foreign interests throughout Asia. The probability would seem to be, judging by reports from Shanghai, that Japan is preparing to extend its so-called military secrets law to Chinese territory for use against foreigners. All this would be just so much of a Nipponese act to justify an attempted invasion of Hong Kong, French Indochina, the Dutch East Indies, Borneo, and perhaps Singapore. Moreover, the flames of Japanese hatred are being fanned by the reported assassination of a Japanese army major in Suzhou district of Shanghai last night. The district is outside the Japanese-controlled area of Shanghai, and there are indications that Japan will demand the right to search the area for the alleged assassins and possibly control it and other sections of Shanghai, where the Nipponese assert terrorists are operating against them. Foreign residents in Shanghai insist that they are in possession of evidence to prove the Japanese are behind the terrorists and are themselves responsible for the assassination of their own nationals.
And with the news thus analyzed by Linton Wells, Columbia concludes another broadcast of important world developments. We listen to William L. Shire reporting from Berlin, Eric Severide reporting from London. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.